It's one of those days where to-dos are all over the place. On today's list, a teeth cleaning at 6 a.m., returning the not-so-fake cowhide rug at 9, scooping up a vintage stereo from Marketplace in Bethesda, at first to show up with cash PM, and picking up Cousin Rick at Reagan at 3 a.m. Zip if, odd errands, at odd hours. With Zipcar, you can book cars near you in D.C. anytime you want, with gas included, which makes days like this, well, just another day. Join and drive in minutes at zipcar.com.
What is up? What is up? What is up? Welcome back, everybody. Boxing Voice Radio, another episode. Ring Vogue Danny in the building, and I'm joined with the 2022 Trainer of the Year, Bob Santos. Bob, what's going on, man?
Everything's good, man. Just glad to be here. Glad to be here.
Man, first and foremost, congratulations. This is the first time we've had you on the show since the announcement of your Trainer of the Year. I'm sure all the hard work feels like it's paid off in a way now. It's hasn't gone unnoticed. It's being recognized.
Yeah. It's been a long road, a lot of decades to get to this point, but we're here now and we're thankful for all the hard work we put in, and the proof is in the pudding, and we got the job done this year big time.
Now, looking back on it, 2022, obviously you walk out of the year with Trainer of the Year, but when you look back on the year as a whole, what is your biggest outtake on 2022?
You know, the upsets, the hard work, you know, it was like no other year, obviously, and opportunity, and opportunity met hard work. And usually when things like that happen, it's a recipe for success. And that's what happened for us, obviously, with, you know, Alberto Pueyo, Hector Garcia, you know, Carlos Adames. I mean, there were some great wins. And we have a lot of other guys in our stable that are coming up that had some great wins. Kevin Brown and the Perot brothers, the two heavyweight Olympians. So we did a lot more than just, you know, Alberto Pueyo, Carlos Adames, and Hector Garcia. We had a lot of wins with a lot of guys.
You got Mini Pac-Man, too.
We got Mini Pac-Man, too, and you know, so it was a lot of guys. A lot of guys deserve the credit, their hard work and determination.
Now, you know, obviously the hard work got recognized, but the show continues. You know, the show never stops. You started off the year with a bang, big fight, Tank and Hector, Luis Garcia. You know, it was a fight that, I'm going to be honest with you, I thought it was in a way, a win-win for Hector, right? Because if he pulled it off, biggest upset in boxing, you know, and if he didn't, I was happy that he still gets to keep his title, you know, since he moved up to 35 to take on that challenge. I'm like, he's still going to be world champion, still going to be able to get paid like a world champion and get world champion opportunities. So, you know, you know, take us back on that night. I was in the building. I made a last-minute trip to D.C. I was in the building, and we spoke briefly after the fight in the hotel. But take us back to that night, January 7th.
You know, obviously, we came in with the mindset that we were going to win. You know, it was no song and dance show. You know, these guys just, you know, hyping up the fight. You know, we really believed we were going to win that fight. We had a tremendous training camp. You know, and I said it, and I'll say it again. I thought Hector was the most technical fighter he had fought up until that point. That said, it was a competitive fight. You know, I thought we were having our best round in the eighth round going into that fight. I thought it was a dead heat. Could have been 4-3 either way. Hector was giving tremendous account of himself. And eighth round, we started off really, really well. You know, in the seventh round, I believed I looked over. And if you look at the tape, you know, Tank's asking Calvin, hey, what round is this? And, you know, he wasn't too sure yet. They finally got back to him and says, hey, Tank, we're in the seventh round. Tank even said himself, like, damn, seventh round. So, you know, we were pushing him pretty good at that point. Eighth round starts. I thought we were having our best round. Obviously, the fisticuffs happened, you know, outside the ring. And for whatever reason, the referee stopped the fight. And, you know, like in all sports, especially in professional prize fighting, momentum's a mother effer. And, you know, to Tank's credit, he took charge from that point. He took, you know, the momentum swing, and he did what he had to do. And that's the greatness of Gervonta Davis. He's got the punching power. He's got that great equalizer. Caught Hector with a great shot, and, you know, the rest is history.
Now, what was your thoughts on the whole, like, the ref stopping the fight for the fight in the crowd? Like, usually, you know, I've only seen, like, Fan Man actually hit the ring. You get what I'm saying? So they had to stop it. But, yo, there's plenty of fights, especially any card in California. There's bound to be at least one fight in the crowd. And, you know, I don't know. It was DC. I know DC typically doesn't get big fights. But what was your thoughts on that choice for the refs to stop it?
Well, obviously, you know, he should. In hindsight, you know, everybody's 20-20. You know, he's human. They're referees. They make mistakes. To me, that was a mistake. When he was stopping the fight, I thought we were off to our best round. And, you know, I was incurring him, you got to let the fight continue. You know, if it doesn't get to the ring, there's no reason to stop the fight. For whatever reason he stopped it, you give a guy like Gervonta Davis, in a sense, a timeout in the middle of the ring, who's a puncher like that. You know, you give him a little bit of wind, oxygen, just and that. I mean, we've seen what happened. But he never should have stopped the fight. But he's human. You know, people make mistakes. I think he made a mistake. I think he got caught up in the situation. But he never should have stopped that fight. And you don't let what's going on outside the ring determine what's going on inside the ring unless it makes its way to the ring itself. And then both fighters could get hurt,
right,
jeopardized. You're not sure what's going on. But for a couple guys pushing outside the ring, it never should have happened. But, you know, that being said, again, Gervonta is a tremendous puncher. He's not only that, he's a great boxer. So who knows? Maybe he catches Hector in the 10th round, the 11th round. We've seen what he did with my guy, with Mario Barrios, in the 11th round. So, again, he could change the fight on a dime. You know, you got to have almost a perfect fight to beat him. So we would have still had, I think they stopped it in the 9th. We'd have had to go 3 more rounds. And who knows, maybe he would have caught Hector in the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th. But it definitely changed the momentum of the fight. No two ways about that.
Mm. Now, obviously, we see finally the big announcement. It was kind of announced before the Hector fight, but, you know, things are finalized now. Tank, Ryan Garcia. It seems like April 22nd is going to be a very expensive night to be in Las Vegas. Just what are your thoughts on the fight? You obviously have no dog in the race, if you will, but being trainer of the year and just being who you are, expert in your own right of the sport, how do you see that fight play out?
You know, I've said it many times. I favored Gervonta Davis in the fight. Now, you know, come Sunday morning, am I going to be shocked? Like, oh, wow, Ryan Garcia pulled it off. No, because obviously, you know, he has good hand speed, right? And good timing. He can punch. He's long. He's big. He's rangy. So there's no doubt about it that he can pull off and win that fight. But I favor Tank. I think Tank's got more layers to him. Tank's been in more, you know, per se, major fights.
Absolutely.
And that's a factor. So I don't care what anybody says. You know, you can have a lot of amateur fights. You could be a world champion. But tell you get on that stage of real professional prize fighting, right? And it's got to go through your mind, these things. Hey, I beat this guy. These things are going through these guys' heads. Don't think it's not, because they're human.
Right.
Right. I beat this guy. You know, you get a little more tense. You know, the heartbeat is a little faster in those fights with 20,000 people screaming, going nuts. And you know your life is going to change dramatically.
Right.
Right. So you got to handle all those things. And people say, oh, you know, until you've done it, until you've been in those major pay-per-views, it's even like a coach. Oh, I'm a great coach. Hey, until your butt's been in the hot seat and you got to guide that corner, you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know how you're going to determine it, and you don't know until you've been there. So I think Tank's been in those situations. Ryan hasn't, not to that degree. That's going to factor in. And then I also think Tank's punching power, and I think his ring IQ.
Let me ask you this, Bob. Because I think, and I've been on record stating that, in my opinion, Tank and Ryan was the biggest commercial fight that could be made in boxing this year. I don't think it's bigger than Errol and Bud in terms of significance and in terms of competitiveness. I think, but I think that Tank and Ryan are stars in their own right. And I think that this one's going to reach masses. And we've seen, you know, the resale tickets are ridiculous for this fight. But I have to ask you, because people are starting to question Gervonta when all these things are coming out with the stipulations, catch weight, and a rehydration clause. Something that I have never seen actually happen in a fight. It was supposed to happen in the Conor Ben Chris Eubank fight, but that fight never came to. So what are your thoughts on it? Because I'm not going to lie, I find it a little eyebrow raising.
Well, I agree.
And why would Oscar and Bernard allow Ryan to sign something like that?
You know, I agree with you from the standpoint of not just boxing. The star power that Gervonta brings, what Ryan brings, you know, to the layman, it's going to be at another level. There's no two ways about that. And I think competitively, it's going to be much more competitive than people think. I just think, like I said, Gervonta has a higher ring IQ. Definitely a huge puncher, but Ryan with his athleticism and don't, you know, I worked with Joe Goosen for many, many years. Don't underestimate Joe Goosen and the game plan that he may be able to come up with. So, you know, that's a lot of years of experience and what they're going to be able to come up with. Now, in terms of the catch weights and stipulations, you know, in all sports, right? And I'm a huge sports guy. My brother's a college football coach. You know, like I've said before, my family's huge into sports. My cousin, college? He's coaching at a junior college right now up in the Bay Area.
Nice.
And but anyway, you know, that said, my cousin fought in the 56 Olympics. My family's been in sports. That's all we live for, right? And so that said, when you look at baseball, you look at Yankee Stadium, there's a reason that right field is so short, right? You got a lot of lefties in there. And that's why it's home field advantage.
So yeah,
you know, but regardless of the sport, or, you know, you look at college football and people don't realize, hey, guess what? When you're the faster predominant team, the grass is cut a little shorter. When they know the faster team's coming in, all of a sudden the groundskeeper, the grass is just a little longer, might be a little bit more slippery or wet. Hey, that we did the best we could. It is what it is in sports. Mm. And at the end of the day, that's why you have negotiations, right?
Absolutely.
You have negotiations. Absolutely. And you should have competent people around you that are looking out for your best interest. And if you sign the contract and you agreed to it, then you agreed to it.
I'm with you.
Right? So now, if I was Ryan Garcia, would I have agreed to the rehydration clause? No. Right? The fight, if the fight can't be for a world title at 135 or 140, okay, I'm not agreeing to the fight at 136. We're gonna fight that fight, you know, 138, 137. We got to meet somewhere in the middle ground. But they agreed to it. Obviously, they still feel confident that they're gonna win this fight with those stipulations, and we'll see how it plays out. Now they're rolling the dice. Maybe it plays out in their favor. You know, maybe because Ryan, you know, you could look at it this way. He could rehydrate, and I've seen cases of this, though, too, where I've had fighters where we fought against guys, and it's worked out in my favor where the guy rehydrated so much, and we were able to impose our will on a guy and win the fight. But I've also had cases where it backfires on you, where the guy's a little sluggish, you know what I mean? He's not getting punches off as much. He over-rehydrated, who knows, maybe Ryan not being able to rehydrate to what he normally does, it may play a factor in him where the speed is going to be a little bit more. It's going to be a little bit more comparable. He's going to be able to get that left hook grenade off, you know, more times than not, and maybe catch him. So it may work out in their favor.
Now, let me ask you this, because some people, we actually, Ness and I were talking about this on the show yesterday. Some people feel that Ryan is being, his experience is being overlooked. We've never seen him in the ring with the world champion, but he has 225 amateur fights. And some people feel like, yo, that should be spoke about. I kind of feel like we only hear about the amateur experience if they went to the Olympics. That's just the bottom line, because the amateurs was for a pro so long ago that it's like, why are we talking about it now? Boxing is a sport of what have you done for me lately? Do you think that those 225 amateur fights for Ryan should be spoke about more and considered more? Or do you think, nah, that was a minute ago, this is a pro game, totally different?
It's totally different. You know, the amateurs to me is a sport. Professional prize fighting, it's the hurt business. There's no two ways about it. The gloves are smaller. You're in there to do damage. It's not just a little point system for, you know, 3 and 4 rounds. But that said, again, you know, it does play a role. The more amateur fights you have, usually the more comfortable you are inside the ring. Not always. Sometimes it could work, you know, against you. You see a lot of quality amateurs or even Olympic amateurs, they don't turn out to be good pros because they develop the style that is so conducive to the amateurs. Now it doesn't transcend to the pros. So, you know, I guess you could take that with a wash, but I think it does help to have a good amateur pedigree. I think it does help to have good amateur experience for the most part, rule of thumb. But that said, I think what we're underestimating is Ryan Garcia being in those gyms in Southern California. I'm sure some of the sparring sessions that he's had over the years, you know, was probably even more comparable than what he even got in these amateur
fights.
That's
what I said. I think
that's going to be a big factor.
I said, I think sparring these days gets looked at in a higher regard, in a sense, more so than what you accomplish in the amateurs, because it's the pro game. You sparring other pros, other world champions versus the amateurs. Yes, the amateur maybe ended up becoming a world champion, but it was just so long ago that it's like it doesn't really get mentioned too much. But I don't want to sit on this topic too much. You know, definitely want to get into some of your other guys. I saw Carlos Adames in the gym the other day. I know he has a fight with J-Rock coming up in June.
Mm-hmm.
What other guys do you have that are in camp? Pueyo, obviously, he has a Rolly fight.
Yeah, we have Alberto Pueyo, and he'll be getting ready for May 13th fight with Rolly. We have Elijah Garcia is going to be with us. He's going to be fighting on Showbox, you know, April 7th. We got the Perot brothers, obviously. I got Denier Perot. He's going to be fighting again March 24th. We got the Black Capino, DJ Zamora. He's going to be going on the undercard of Benavidez and Plant.
Mm.
We got the Barrientos brothers. They should be getting ready to rock and roll here either April 8th, or they may get pushed to the 13th on the Pueyo card. We're not sure. Louis DeCubas Jr. obviously will make that assessment and that judgment, along with Al Haymon, obviously. And so, yeah, we've got quite a few guys, and we got Kevin Brown should be coming back, making a big fight. You know, should put him in the top 10 in his third pro fight in May. I like him a lot. He's one of the few guys that beat Iglesias and beat Andy Cruz in the amateurs, and he's got a great pedigree. I know you've seen him over there. Didn't get to see him spar, but we had him over there to work with Shakur Stevenson. He should be getting ready to spar tonight with Gervonta Davis. So it's funny how this sport is. Obviously, you know, you compete. You want to go against the best, but at the end of the day, for the most part, professionalism, Calvin Ford, Gervonta Davis. You know, I'm actually, like I said, going to have the Barrientos twins sparring him, helping him for his fight with Ryan Garcia. And also Kevin Brown should be there tonight, should be some great sparring. So a lot of those guys, and it just shows the professionalism of everybody.
Shit, Bob, I might have to keep the shirt on and roll in with you this evening. I ain't got no plans.
Let's go.
Yo, you brought up Perot, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to mispronounce.
Mm-hmm.
The Perot brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Which one can we bring up? Because, you know, they're getting some good work. One of them is getting some good work.
Yeah, but, you know, very fortunate. You know, Jared Anderson's obviously getting ready for his fight. I think he's going to be the co-feature with
Co-feature,
Shakur.
Yes. April 8th, yeah.
So I like him a lot. Great guy, good people to be around. You know, his conditioning coach, Edward Jackson, and all those guys who worked with me with David Morrell and some of our other guys. And but Jared Anderson, wow, he just a beast, animal, got a motor. And we're real fortunate to be getting Daniil Perot work with him and my other heavyweight, Eric Ruiz Cordova, who's working with him too. And so it's a great experience for them because Daniil, again, look, we talk about the amateurs, right? So he's a 2020 Olympian. But like you said, that's the amateurs. You know, he's making his way into the pro game and learning how to go the rounds.
3-0, right?
3-0. And Eric Ruiz Cordova's 2-0. So it was a great opportunity to bring him back from Miami and get some work with Jared Anderson. I like Jared Anderson a lot, I definitely think he's going to be a world champion at some point.
How soon do you think he can be world champion? He's only, I think, 22 now, very young.
You know, I think it's just whenever he gets the opportunity. I guess whenever a top rank wants to pull the trigger or whatever, but it wouldn't surprise me that he could win one of the belts right now. I mean, I think obviously Tyson Fury is at the apex. I don't think anybody beats him right now. The only guy that's going to beat him, I think, is himself, you know, if that's the case. But definitely, I think he could beat a lot of guys out there. And outside of him, I think he's capable of beating everybody. I think Deontay Wilder obviously would be a tough fight because he's got such tremendous punching power. Outside of those two guys, I think right now he could pretty much beat anybody.
I was very fortunate to see a few rounds of him and Tyson when Tyson was getting ready for the Wilder fight. So that was great. That was great work. And, you know, Tyson said it himself. He'll be a world champ one day. So, you spoke on his motor though. Something that we don't really see with the heavyweights. Did that kind of surprise you a little bit?
Ooh, yeah. I guess you know, you could see in his fights he's got a motor because sometimes he gets hit with a good shot and then he turns it up. And his last fight, you seen that, right? It was kind of like it was pedestrian. They're kind of going boom. He gets hit with a good shot and boom. Instantly, you know, that fire in him, and it just came out, and he just started putting punches together, and it was, you know, good night Irene for that other guy. So I knew he had a motor, but when you get to see it up close and personal in the sparring sessions, and you could see it in different days, you're like, wow, this guy can really go. He can really go.
Now, you've been in the business for so long, so, you know, no telling how many fighters you've witnessed, but I'm just curious, have you ever seen a heavyweight that switches?
No, not really. And that said, I never really seen a heavyweight with the motor that guy got. You know, I've been around a lot of heavyweights. I was in camps. I've seen James Toney and things of that nature. So the guy really just got an unbelievable motor. And as he's going, it doesn't seem like he exerts a lot of energy to have that motor. You know, we were witnessing, you were there last night.
Right.
You've seen the sparring with Perot and them. Technically, the Perot brothers, they're sound as anybody. But when you seen that guy's motor, it's like, woo, Lord, heaven.
And let me tell you, the Perot brother and even your other heavyweight, but the Perot, man, that motherfucker's fast.
Yeah.
He's quick.
Yeah.
Quick little snappy, and Jared was like, yo, this the work I need. He good, you know? So I was just curious because, man, we say it, and his cardio to me is unlike any other, man. Unlike any other, you know? I have a video of him on a jump rope, and he's doing, like, double jumps, and he's, like, counting, and he does over 100, and he's just like, and I'm just sitting there, like,
and he's not even breathing.
Bro, he's talking to you, talking shit to you as he's doing it. You know, it's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. He was having a conversation with me in the sparring session. Oh, Bob, I appreciate this. You know, he's coming over by the corner and said, Bob, I appreciate this. I saw you working. You're welcome, Jared. You're welcome.
And they do, obviously, 4-minute rounds, 30-second breaks. So it's some long, intense.
Well, my guys weren't up to speed with that one. You're right. We're up to 3 minutes. We're 3 minutes. I said, let's start with the three. He just got off the plane from Miami last week.
And then
we moved it up to four. And I said, oh, boy, you got to keep up with this guy, man. It's unbelievable. So, yeah, there's no doubt in my mind he's going to be a world champion at some point. Yeah, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
I'm excited to see, you know, what's to come, you know. And now with the Perot brothers, because obviously any guy that you work with, you know, I got an eye on. But when I see you in that gym and see you working, I'm like, okay. Now I got both eyes on you, you know, because, you know, a lot of guys get sent home or, you know, they can't be up to speed, to last in there. You know, obviously credit to the work that you are putting in with your guys and, you know, the work that they are putting in and have put in up to this point. I want to ask you, man, what the fuck is up with Carlos? When is he getting that title shot?
You know, we have to ask Jamar Charlo.
We were in Mexico, man. And I'm like, yo, what the fuck? That was in November.
Yeah.
We in March now, and it's like he fighting J-Rock in June. Oh, my God. Now it's like, so when the fuck does he get a shot at Charlo?
I don't know. You know, we have to ask Jermall Charlo. I don't know why the fight can't be made. We have the same promotional company, you know.
What is the WBC saying, though? Because at the end of the day, that's the belt he's representing, and that's the rankings that Carlos Adames is in, and it's like, yo, what's up, Mauricio? Like, what's going on?
I can't call it, you know. I can't call it. Maybe there's something going on there more than meets the eye.
Is he with Louis too?
Louis
the Cooper?
Yeah, he is. You know, and obviously Al advises him. And I can't call it. I don't understand what's going on with there. That's a fight that should be made, needs to be made. But maybe from their standpoint, their perspective, you know, you look at the common opponent. That's not the be-all and the tell-all, but if you look at the common opponent in Montiel, and you look at what we did with Montiel, and you look at what he did with Montiel, I guess, you know, he's in no rush to get in the ring with somebody like Carlos Adames, and maybe I can't blame them, but at the end of the day...
Something got to give,
yeah,
though.
You got it. That's what I'm saying. At the end of the day,
something
got to
give. Like, when's the last time we saw him in a ring?
Oh, I think it's got to be going on 2 years now,
and,
huh?
And, yo, I'm not shitting on the guy in the sense, I'm not saying he's a bad... I'm not saying nothing. But, yo, something has to fucking give.
Yeah.
Yo, they did it to Keith Thurman. Made him champion emeritus. What the fuck is up? Like, give Carlos an opportunity.
Yeah. You know, I'm with you on that. Like I said, I can't call it. I think Charlo's, you know, a great fighter, but you got to fight. And you got to fight the best, you know. Hector Garcia, we wanted to be the best. We got to fight Gervonta Davis. These are the fights you got to fight. If you want to have a great legacy, right? If you want to have that great legacy, you got to go down and say, this is the guy, bing, 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 and prove that greatness. You know, do you want to end up being a pay-per-view fighter? Do you want to be a guy that transcends, you know, not just boxing, but just to the average Joe who's out there working hard, construction, you know, wants to have a beer after Friday and says, man, you know what? I want to see that Jermall Charlo.
Right.
Right? Those are the type of fights you need to do to get those people behind you. And it's not happening.
Let me ask you this. May 13th, Alberto Puello defends his 140-pound title against Rolly Romero. I was hearing about that fight, I would say, at least 2-3 months before it was announced.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that I'm like, yo, I don't know if this shit's happening because I've been hearing about it for a while. Did you know it was going to be announced the day it was announced?
Yeah, I knew it was going to happen. And
with how much notice did you know we're going to announce the fight on this day?
I knew for a while. I knew for a while. We got Pueyo out here from the Dominican Republic. We already started prepping early for the fight. And so we had a good indicator. I mean, nothing was signed. Nothing was set in stone. but we had a good indicator that this is what the networks wanted. This is the direction that they were going to go. They were talking a little bit. We were talking about Russell, right? So that's who we thought we were going to fight and prepare for. For whatever reason, it didn't go that direction.
Yo, he fighting Kent Cruz.
Yeah.
Let me repeat that again, Bob. He is fighting. Am I saying his name right? Hold on. I got the schedule right here. Hold on. Yes, he is fighting Kent Cruz.
Yeah, yeah. So
on y'all undercard that day.
Yeah, I know. So
let me tell you something. I do this for a living.
100%.
Now, I'm not the best at what I do, but I think I do all right.
You're pretty damn good, Danny. We're looking at this studio right now. You're doing pretty damn good. This is probably one of the nicest podcasts I've ever seen. Baseball, basketball, football, hockey, well, you name it.
Shout out to Blue Wire. Shout out to Blue Wire. But I say that to say, I ain't never seen Kent Cruz fight, Bob.
That's you and me both.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I don't feel bad.
And no disrespect to Cruz. I don't know. Maybe he's the next Roberto Duran. I don't know. We'll see. You know, time will tell. But as of this point, yeah, I haven't seen anything of him. But no disrespect to him. You know, I respect any guy that climbs into the ring and laces him up. You got to have respect for any guy that does that. But as to this point, I haven't heard about him
The next. He got 3 draws in his last 5 fights. He's coming off back-to-back draws to Enrique Gogoki. Okay.
Maybe those draws were in Thailand where we were supposed to go with Eric Rosa.
We're going to get to that. No, these were actually here in America. One in Vegas, one at the Armory in Minneapolis.
Boy, you had to go all in on them, huh, Danny? No mercy. No mercy here, man. But, on the boxing voice. It came right at you, baby.
But let me tell you, from the outside, I brought up May 13th because from the outside looking in, it's like, oh, they announced the fight because they just saw Rolly get put on his ass yesterday. Because they announced it the day after that sparring video dropped. And I was like, that's either weird timing or a hell of a fucking coincidence.
Weird timing.
Obviously, you guys aren't overlooking Rolly at all. But just want your thoughts on how that fight plays out. You know, people think that it's Rolly's knockout power. Because it sure ain't the boxing. It's the knockout power that people, if you will, worry about. Kent Cruz, at least he's ranked top 150 in the world. He's number 147, by the way.
Boy, Danny, boxing voice, no mercy.
I'm just letting it be known.
Ain't no mercy here. We better produce good this year. Like I said, 2022, we're Ring Magazine Trainer of the Year, Benny. We better really produce this year because if things don't go well, Danny be all in on us.
Bob, look.
Everybody get the track shoes on. We're going to hit the mountain tonight.
Look, man, all I'm saying is how you contending for a world title when you fighting a goddess? I mean, I'm not top 150 in the world, but I'm not a fucking fighter. Like, I'm top 150 boxing podcast. I'll tell you that. What the fuck?
You right about that.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm not thinking
about... Top of the food chain here.
We at the top. Bob, that's like, you think I'm thinking... If we at the top and the boxing voice is at the top when it comes to boxing podcasts, iTunes will tell you that.
Yeah.
You think I'm thinking about the podcast that's 147th? I ain't even considering them.
No.
You're not even making it I'm wasting 0 data, 0 Wi-Fi, nothing on you.
Yeah, you're right about that.
You get what I'm saying?
110%.
I don't know. I like to do big things and great things. Wasn't he the one that was trying to fight Meek Mill that night ringside?
Yeah, it was the Russell brothers.
Yo, let me tell you.
Boy, they changed the momentum of my fight.
Yo, let me tell you. I said it the other day. I saw Meek that night, brother. He was like 25 deep. I was picking Meek in that situation. He was about 25 deep. I saw him that night. They weren't playing. Man, what are y'all doing? It's a fucking fight. Enjoy the fight. You a boxer. Why are you trying to fight a rapper?
Yeah.
That don't make no sense. He ain't trying to challenge you to a rap battle, so why are you trying to challenge him to a fight? Make it make fucking sense. But mini Pac-Man in Thailand, man, what the fuck happened there?
Wow, you know. We trained so hard for that fight. We were so prepared for that fight. And it's really unfortunate. You know, they said they had a problem within the country talking about the visas, that you have a 6-month window. This is coming from them. I don't know their State Department, that they had a 6-month window and the visa expired in April. The fight was in March. So they say that, you know, you can't have that 6-month window. Where I'm a little perplexed is, if that's the case, why are you allowed to board the plane and get into the country to begin with?
They shouldn't even let you get right to that point.
Yeah, so, and then when we got there, you know, he had to go to a detention center. And
how long was he in this?
When he was in the detention center, you know, this isn't my first rodeo, obviously, right? I've done world title fights in Africa, Europe, South America. I've been all over, right? And like we said, again, when you talk about stipulations in... you know, rehydration clauses and ring size and, you know, Yankee Stadium right field being a little shorter there.
Bob, look, baseball is a one of one, but baseball is even conforming. Look, I was saying that baseball is the only fucking sport where each game could be in a different size field.
Exactly.
But now we're seeing even baseball is getting hip to the fucking replays and the challenges and things like that. And, yo, I got to say I'm a fan of it. And I think it's played,
All things being equal, of course, as a competitor, when you go in there, you know, just a fan of itself, you want everybody to have an equal opportunity, equal playing field. But, you know, sometimes, like I said, in negotiations, things don't happen up and to the point that it is now. We got to live in the world of what it is now, right? Not what we want it to be. But, you know, so he's in the detention center. And so right away I says, hey, look, if he's not out of that detention center, you tell them if he's not out of that detention center, it's not going to be any fight. And lo and behold, you know, an hour later, now he's let out of the detention center. So now you got to start saying to yourself, you know, if you got that much control of what's going on in the situation here, this is a bad situation this is a bad situation.
Nah, so look, man.
Fight didn't go through and
it's probably a good thing it didn't.
Well, you know.
It's probably a good thing it didn't. And I'm going to tell you why. Because it seems to me that they was trying to pull some funny shit from the jump.
Well, when you get there and you say he goes to a detention center, and then I say, well, look, if you guys don't get him out of there, like now, there's no fight. Hour later, he's out of there. At that point, as a team, you know, we got to come together collectively and say, hey, this is a real uphill battle here. It's not looking good. And that's where you have good people with experience or good, you know, good coaches and trainers that have been down this road before. And then you protect the fighter from himself. Because even at that point, you know, Minnie's like, hey, whatever it takes. Then at that point, they're like, well, he's not going to get his visa back until the day after the fight. So now they want to force him into the fight, and then you could have your visa back. So, I mean, there's a lot of just, you know, funky things going on, and it didn't happen. And we'll prepare him and get ready in the United States or so forth, or in a neutral ground in a different country, and we'll see what happens.
So is that fight still, are you guys still looking to make that fight?
Well, definitely that's the guy that we wanted to fight, right? He was the longest reigning champion in boxing right now. He's the longest reigning champion in boxing. And I think that's the fight that can catapult Minnie, you know what I mean? Beating the longest reigning champion in boxing. And then he could come over here, fight in the United States and stuff like that, and make a name for himself, you know, because it's very difficult to do in those weight classes, as you well know.
Absolutely. No, hopefully the right things happen, because I'm like, yo, this shit, it didn't seem right, you know. And in the last year, we've seen a couple instances. There was one in Africa where Maricela Cornejo went out there and they tried to pull some similar things. And, you know, they were stranded out there for like 2 weeks, couldn't get back. You know, it took all types of people to get involved. And even last year with Devin, Bob Ware getting arrested upon arrival and detained. And it was just like, I'm like, yo, get him out of there. Get Mini Pac-Man out of there. We'll try again next time. So
exactly.
But who else did I miss? Who we need to cover, Bob?
Wow. We got a lot of guys in our gym. That's for sure. But I think you pretty much covered most of the guys we have. That's for sure.
Let me get a couple quick thoughts on some upcoming fights. You've been in the gym around Shakur for this camp. He has an upcoming fight April the 8th against Yoshino. Just your thoughts on, you know, what you see and what your thoughts are on Shakur.
Obviously Shakur technically, I mean, you know, just the last couple of days being around him in the gym, it's almost like watching art. The guy's shadow box is so precise. Watching him spar, the timing is second to none. Boxing IQ, boxing ability. I mean, just watching him, so impressed. Getting to see him much more up close and, you know, being right there on the ring and just watching him shadow box, you're just like, wow. You know, if you could design a fighter technically in his movements, and I don't think he could do any better than that. I'm expecting him to go out there and dominate that fight. No two ways about it. I think the real telltale test for him is going to be when he gets in with a guy like a Gervonta Davis, who's a tremendous puncher, how he holds up to that, and where his punching power is going to be able to, is it going to be enough to keep a guy like that honest?
To earn, right, to earn that respect.
And if it is, then he's going to be hard to beat. Mm. And if it's not, then he's in trouble. And we're only going to find that out when he fights that type of a guy. But outside of that, I don't see anybody beating him until he gets in there with a guy that is a superior puncher.
Mm. What, your thoughts on two more fights? May 7th, Steph Fulton making the trip to Japan to face the monster Inoue. He's defending his unified strap at 122. I think it is probably the best fight on the schedule right now. If I'm being truthfully, brutally honest, I think from a boxing purist standpoint, that is the best fight that is scheduled for this year thus far. Just want your thoughts on that fight and how you see that fight play out.
You know, anytime you go overseas, it's tough. It's really tough. And I've done it with a plethora of fighters going overseas, the time change, and I've won world titles overseas. It's very, very, very tough. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I like Stevie Fulton in that fight.
Let's go. Me too, Bob.
You know, I like Stevie too, Fulton in the fight. So, I like him in that fight, and I'd like it much more if it was in the United States with the time zone. So he's got an uphill battle, obviously, from the standpoint of going into a foreign country, the time change, the food is different. You know, you're not in your comfort zone, but I like him. I think he's going to win that fight, and maybe I'm wrong, but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out, but no, I'm with you. I think Steph Fulton is going to be a bit much, and be quite frank with you, you know, he's a true 122-pounder.
Sure. And
true 122-pounder.
And he's talented.
No, I mean, he's a hell of a boxer. Yeah. Hell of a boxer. And when it comes to, you know, in a way, started his career at 108. So it's like, how many divisions are you, you know what I'm saying? So now you're fighting a true 122. And I'm one of those guys, Bob. I'm one of those guys that say he skipped over 112 when Chocolatito was there, Gallo Estrada was there, Cuadras was there, Soran Visa was there. So I don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah.
We ain't seen him against the top of the top.
Yeah.
No, we have not.
No. I know exactly what you're talking about, and it's always great to talk to somebody like yourself that really knows the sport and puts that kind of time and effort, not to just know Tyson Fury, you know, Deontay Wilder, Floyd Mayweather. That's why it's great to come in here and just give me goosebumps, man. It just, you know, to be around true boxing people like yourself. And But again, I like Stevie Fulton in that fight. I agree with you.
I'm with you. And I appreciate it, Bob. I'm sitting in front of the trainer of the year, so it's definitely an honor and a pleasure for me. But last, not least, certainly not least, May 20th, Devin Haney, Vasyl Lomachenko, seems like all but official ESPN pay-per-view. What are your thoughts on that one?
I got Devin Haney. I think he's too long. Good ring IQ. I like Lomachenko. He's a great fighter. What he's done, you know, speaks volumes. But I think he's a little too small for a guy like Devin Haney. I think, you know, even in his absolute prime, it would have been a tall task with Devin Haney. Devin Haney is a very smart fighter. He's very rangy. And he's really adept at breaking rhythms on guys, right? So he'll get off. Guy starts to get a rhythm. Boom, he could tie him up. He changes the rhythm. And that's a high ring IQ. And so it's hard to get a rhythm with him. And I've seen him in a lot of sparrings, obviously with Hector Garcia, right? And we've been down that road. But yeah, I got Devin Haney all day long in that fight. No disrespect to Lomachenko. I think he's a great fighter. I think what he's done is great. I think he'd be better suited to maybe go down a weight class.
I agree. Cause it's like, you know, and obviously it's kind of weird saying that cause he was unified at 135, but I think that he's fighting a true 135 pounder. He's fighting a guy who will be making his 30th fight in the division, if I'm not mistaken. This is 30th professional fight, but he's fighting a true lightweight. Something that
and a guy
isn't.
And a guy who's long and long, a guy who's quick and has a good younger, and a high ring IQ.
And yo, Devin's tank is gonna.
Oh yeah,
you know I think he has one of those tanks. He don't get tired. So
no, we've seen him aspire too. Yeah, he could be a guy that'd be a 15-round fighter. That's for sure. Him and Jared Anderson. You know what's funny? I was talking to one of the assistant coaches yesterday, and my buddy Ben here, you know, who I've had since the kid training with me. And we were talking yesterday. I said, man, that Jared Anderson, if it was 15-round fights, if there's a guy built for that, it's him.
Yeah, I mean, and I think a lot of it, you think about it, you break it down, once he's finishing camp, you know, you're doing 10, 12, 4-minute rounds, you're a 15-round fighter damn near at that point. No, I mean, he's one of those heavyweights, too, that unlike most heavyweights, he didn't cross over from football or from basketball or from hockey or from nothing. He was born and raised in a boxing gym.
Yeah.
He is a pure boxer, and it's gonna be a fun next 10, 12 years for Jared Anderson, for sure.
I think so, too. God willing, you know, he stays healthy.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be great for the sport. You know, no disrespect to any other nations, races, obviously. My mom's from Puerto Rico, so on and so forth. My wife's Mexican, and so we love all the races. But it's great when you have an American heavyweight, you know, because we live here in this country, and it's always great when you have an American heavyweight. And no totally. Disrespect to my Cubans and things like that. It just brings a different kind of aura to the sport.
I totally agree.
And so it would be great for the sport to have an American heavyweight, you know, ascend to the top again.
No, I totally agree. And I know I've spoke to individuals like Brad Goodman and Evan Korn from Top Rank. And, you know, it is confirmed that as long as he come out healthy, he's main eventing his next fight. And you know, I think he is so close from title contention that, you know, the sky's the limit. He really is a big-ass baby. You know, that's exactly what he is. You know, he's so young, so much in store for him. I said last one, but one more fight I want your thoughts in. Now, I don't want to fuck up his name, but it's my boy that you guys fought, that Pueyo fought for the title at 140.
Batyrov?
Him and Kenny Sims. How you see that fight play out? Rumors has it that that's what's next.
The way I see that fight is Kenny Sims is a superior boxer. No two ways about it. You know, and I keep everything 100. I never bullshit. Batyrov's a very tough, tough guy. It's funny because we heard about that fight and Mario Barrios was in the gym and Pueyo. And I said, man, I hear they're talking about, you know, Patiroff and Kenny Sims. And I looked at Barrios and I says, our Russian. And he says, yeah, our Russian. Because, you know, that guy puts you through the fire, right? I mean, he
I was there for the Barrios.
He doesn't stop.
That was on Earl and Sean Porter undercard in LA. I remember that fight.
So if Sims has enough power to keep him honest, I like Sims in that fight. Question is, does he have enough power to keep that guy honest? Because he's coming. And you better have something to keep him off of you. Because, and that's the type of fight, even when you win, you say to yourself, oh my God, never have us fight that guy again. Oh man, you know, he'll put you through the fire. There's no two ways about that. So that's a great fight stylistically. You got totally two contrasting styles. You got a great boxer in Sims, you know, and Sims does a lot of things on the inside. Like I said, I've seen him in there with Poirier. I've seen him in there with Kevin Brown. He does a lot of good things on the inside. But boy, that Russian's coming. Kenny, be ready.
Be ready.
But I'm sure he will be prepared. And I think that's a great fight stylistically. Mm-hmm. Totally two contrasting styles. We'll see which one comes out on top.
Yes, we will. Well, Bob, always a pleasure to have you on. I really enjoyed the conversation, and it's always great to have you on. Definitely let the people know where to keep up with you, where to follow you on social media and things like that.
You know, I've never had social media before, but my kids just started a Santos boxing on Instagram. And so I guess you can go there and follow what we're doing there. And so I just appreciate the opportunity to come here and talk to you. And obviously we love the fans and appreciate without them, you know, we're nothing. And thank God, I think not only the fighters, the best athletes in the world to me in terms of the not just what they do in the ring, but how they treat the people. If you meet almost any fighter and the way they interact with the fans, it's second to none. I'm not going to get into some sports, but there's a lot of arrogance in a lot of other sports, to say the least. And the fighters are the most gracious, the most heartwarming people there are out there. There's just something great about professional prize fighters.
I think one big thing about it, Bob, is that there's only one other sport that even comes remotely to mind when you think about accessibility to the athlete. You get what I'm saying? Like, there's no way in hell a fan could show up to an NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball facility and, oh, I want to watch practice.
Yeah.
But it may be some gyms here in Vegas, they'll allow fans to come watch. They'll allow fans in the gym to meet the fighters. So it's like, I just feel like it's fan accessibility, even during fight week. You know, I've been to plenty of football games, plenty of baseball games. Yeah, if I show up early for NBA shoot around or for batting practice, I might have got to meet a player. But, you know, you have fight week, all fight week, the fighters are in the hotel, you know, they're taking pictures. It's just like, it's a lot more accessible than any other sport.
And the fighters, the way they, you know, endear themselves to the fan, you know, like I said, my brother, you know, played college football, you know, played with a lot of guys in the NFL and I know some coaches in the NBA and things of that nature, but I don't think there's any athlete or any other sport that endears itself to the fans like professional prize fighters.
I agree. But Bob, definitely a pleasure. Truly enjoyed having you. Once again, congratulations on the 2022 Trainer of the Year. Look forward to having you back. Make sure to go follow Bob Santos Boxing on Instagram. Keep up with everything he has going. So many fighters, so many great things. On behalf of the Boxing Voice, Ringwalk Danny, catch us on the next one. We out.